Hello, podcast listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Growcast for part two of Philos. That's right, everybody. We are talking about the Philos controversy, and part two is really, really interesting. Let me get this ad read out of the way before I riff and tell you some things that I am thinking. First, today's sponsor is Atlas Plant Trainer, everybody. Go to atlasplanttrainer.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off your entire order. And mygrowpass.com members get 25% off all Atlas Plant Trainers. They're also giving away three sets to three winners of the giveaway. Have you ever found yourself a few weeks away from your next harvest and running low on bud? Are you wondering how you can get more out of your plants without replacing your lights or nutrients? I bet you're tired of bamboo stakes poking you when you're trying to train and support your plants. Well, with Atlas Plant Trainer, all of those concerns are wiped away. This is the best plant support system on the market, people. Connect, clip, bend, and click. Four easy steps to growing the plants of your dreams, never running out of cannabis. Look, it's the best. There's not many products out there where I say there is one best product. This is the best way to support your plants. It might not make sense for every grow, but it makes sense for most grows, and you need to go get one because it's the best way to support your plants and get more yield without changing anything else. AtlasPlantTrainer.com, promo code GROWCAST for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com for 25% off. Okay, everybody. Let me wrap here for a second with you. Last episode, we covered the Philos side from Benjamin Adams. You know, part one was recorded before I was even aware of the controversy. I was literally learning about it from Benjamin. And then after recording part one, we were looking for someone who could kind of present the other side. And that's when we found Sun Grown Mids. This guy has done an amazing job. He's an Oregon grower, and he's been following this controversy very closely, and he's dug in very deep and really presents it in an unbiased light. And to be honest, it's a pretty damning picture that he paints. It's hard to refute the kind of dates and video footage that he has. It doesn't look great. Let's just put it that way. And I wanted to make the following point very clear. You know how I feel about this by the end of the episode. But there are growers, there are breeders who are friends of this show, who are my personal friends, who still support Philos post-controversy. And I'm not going to let that affect my personal relationships with them. I don't think that's the way to go about life. I just want to riff on this for a second. I think that no matter what your opinion is of Philos, the best thing that we can do as the cannabis community and as growers is to stick together and be compassionate and not let issues like this divide us. You know, I've been doing the Mastering Happiness podcast with Dr. Joel Wade, and on there he talks about focusing on what you can control and letting go of what you can't. And this stuff is super fascinating, and it riles people up, and they get deep into it, and they dig into it. And that's good. You should educate yourself on this extremely interesting and deep subject. But to be honest, I hope that there are smart. I know that there are smarter people out there, more powerful people out there working on issues like this. You know, I'm hoping trying to protect our freedoms, etc. I'm not going to let an opinion over a scandal ruin my personal relationships. I think if you're trying to live a happy life, that's not the best route. You know, focus on what you can control, let go of the rest. I think really not just hearing those words, but really applying that is a powerful concept. So yeah, I don't think it really matters what I think. I just want to present this in an entertaining and enlightening way. And I hope it helps you form your own opinions of this crazy subject. We can all agree that this is crazy stuff. The implications and everything is quite crazy. So that's my riff, everybody. And I know I can be kind of hypocritical because sometimes I praise fundamentalists like Todd McCormick. I do admire people like that. But that's my advice to you is don't let this stuff drive you crazy. And definitely don't let it break up a good friendship between growers. That's my advice. Anyways, I hope you find this episode super entertaining and enlightening. Happy growing. Good luck, everybody. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. We have an awesome episode ahead for you guys today. Really excited. Before we get started, though, please share this show with a friend. This would be a great episode to share. It's a very interesting one. And make sure that you're subscribed. Give us a good rating and review. Make sure you're up to date on Growcast. We have Sun Grown Mids on the line right now. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, man. How about you, Jordan?
Doing excellent. I'm excited to talk to you about today's topic. It is a very hot button topic in the cannabis growing world. A big controversy going on, and we've been kind of quiet on it, just sitting back and watching everything play out and watching people like you who have been following this stuff pretty deeply. Before we jump into the controversy and genetic marker-assisted breeding and all this stuff, why don't you give out your Instagram or your website or anything you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, you can find me at Sungrown Mids. That's Sungrown Mids, all one word, with a Z at the end. And yeah, I pretty much dedicate my page at this point to talking about issues confronting the cannabis community and sort of traditional producers, people who have been growing since before legalization, and the difficulties we're facing and the issues we're facing as things transition to regulated market.
That's a perfect description of what's going on with the Phylos controversy, which is what we're talking about today. It's these challenges we're facing as we emerge into this regulated, or just regulation aside, this accepted market, right?
Yeah, no, it's something that a lot of us had concerns with when we read Prop 64 here in California. I know a lot of producers up in Oregon are facing issues. Washington, with the way that they got rid of the entire medical category, it's been difficult in every state.
It's a tough transition, and this is just another example of that. But it's a fascinating one, and you've been following it, man, because you know. Genetic mapping, genetic marking of the cannabis plant has been something I've been interested in, and it has all these implications. And the last thing you want to do is let a, for lack of a better word, an evil entity get their hands on this stuff and, you know, God knows what, limit the amount of genetic diversity that's, you know, available or legal, you know, patent these sort of things, whatever it is. There's a lot of scary implications, but there's a lot of good implications too. So we're going to talk about one of the biggest cannabis genetic companies, Phylos Labs, and everything that you've been following as far as their controversy and this huge, huge deception that seems to have taken place. Can you maybe give, for my listeners who haven't heard of it, like an overall description of Phylos, what they said they were doing, and what it turned out that they were more likely to be doing?
Yeah, totally. So Phylos started back in about 2014. They started as a joint project with Columbia University and the American Natural History Museum doing the Cannabis Evolution Project. They reached out through a number of people. Skunkman Sam, also aka Dave Watson, reached out on Icy Mag, posting an original request for genetics. I know Robert Clark was also somebody that they approached and had seeking genetics, and number of people in Phylos who executives and individuals like that use their connections with people in the cannabis community to seek out rare, unique genetics to try and do what was pitched as a community science project to really understand the evolution of cannabis. They crowdsourced about 1,000 samples in this time. This was the initial basis for the cannabis or the Phylos Galaxy that they produced.
Right. So it all started as just a genetic mapping project, and then the Phylos crew kind of came from that cannabis evolution project.
Yes, and that really took place from about 2014 all the way to about early 2016. When Phylos was really just setting up the galaxy. In April, I believe it was 420, Phylos actually launched the galaxy. And at that point, Phylos had already developed a business plan that was oriented around breeding. And so Phylos had told everybody for the preceding several years that they were only going to be doing this evolutionary project. They launched the galaxy, and Nishan, he actually went on the New York Times and was quoted saying that Phylos didn't plan on breeding plants, but was instead hoping to charge a fee for lab services. Mm. And they operated under this pretext with Mowgli Homes going around over the ensuing years, basically pitching Phylos as a community IP defense strategy. And he literally went on what I've dubbed the Phylos fuck Monsanto speaking tour.
That's exactly right, man. One of them came on my show and was doing the same thing. He was basically saying, we don't want Monsanto to have claim over your genetics, so So fork it over to us, is what he was saying.
Yeah, yeah. And he pitched that anywhere he could get a speaking engagement for the last 4 years. And
oh, that's good to know, because that means that my podcast was all the way at the bottom of the barrel when it came on my show just a couple of months ago. Shows where I lie on the on the media scale. Sorry, go on though.
Yeah, yeah. But so they then began to sell their services in the form of gen kits and sex kits, and they pitched these to the growing and breeding community as a way of developing their own genetics and as a way of protecting their genetics. And so these services net them several million dollars in 2018 in profits and revenues. And they also, as we have found out, collected lots of data through this. They got their samples, and at some point they developed a terms of service. It's unclear when in the development of this project terms of services were included.
Oh, wow.
But those terms of service basically dictated that Phylos had an irrevocable, unending, royalty-free use of the data that was generated or derived from the samples.
Right. So let me ask you this, though, just really quick. You say they released the Galaxy, that was the database itself, yes?
Well, the Galaxy is just a three-dimensional representation.
Right.
It's not actually any of the data.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
No, the data was actually released later in December of 2018. They finally released about 2,000 and something samples onto the NCBI. And those samples that they released in December, I believe it was December 19th of 2018, have now been in the public domain for a little over 7 months, 8 months.
Right.
And so come December 19th, every sample that was uploaded onto the NCBI is now officially in the public domain, as it were.
Hmm.
Or at least that's the intent of Phylos. And
right. So that's what they were originally after, though. It was just, hey, we're going to, or let's just say what they claim they are originally after. We're going to map this. We're going to give you a report so you can weigh it against someone else if you think they're stealing your stuff, or compare it to this, compare it to that, whatever. That's as far as we're getting. And then they hire on a head of breeding while simultaneously publicly stating that they won't be breeding ever? Is that the big lie in this whole thing?
Yes, and that's the initial. It's clear that Phylos had this plan dating all the way back to late 2015, early 2016, when Nishan was telling the New York Times that Phylos would not be breeding.
They were actually
in the process of hiring a plant breeder at that time, and they then proceeded to essentially go down the road of engaging in plant breeding. However, the election of Donald Trump actually kind of changed things in the Oregon recreational market, because investors became very scared of the Sessions-led Justice Department.
Right.
And so Phylos lost a lot of their investment backing in 2017. As a result of the appointment of Jeff Sessions.
Hmm.
And so Phylos kind of pivoted at that time and really relied on their gen kits and their sex tests as a way of generating revenue without actually developing their breeding program. They started up their breeding program again in 2017, 2018, when they started to hire breeders. First, they started hiring somebody who was a former employee at Cargill, and then they started employing different individuals with Monsanto background.
Okay, so that's the funny part. Last we spoke, you were talking about how he's going around saying F Monsanto, but if you look at the Phylos crew, several of the people in the crew have backgrounds at Monsanto?
Yes. So currently today, the vice president of breeding and the director of their breeding programs is John McPherson. John McPherson is a longtime Monsanto executive. He bred BT corn. It's known as Mon 836. And he's led almost every breeding project, from their corn to their vegetable production pipeline in Monsanto, for at least the last decade. He's a very high-level executive and hired that they were able to get from Monsanto to take over their operations. They've also just recently hired Greg Peel, and Greg Peel is an expert in molecular biology, who his experience and training is specifically in gene editing. And so Phylos has an expert gene editor and one of the longtime top executives at Monsanto who are now running the breeding operations at Phylos.
That's crazy, man. That's super, super strange. I don't know how you could think that would go over anything other than horribly. Okay, everyone, before we jump back in with sun-grown mids, let's give a little love to today's sponsor, Dr. Zymes, the amazing Dr. Zymes. Just go to drzymes.com, drzymes.com, and use promo code GROWCAST10 for 10% off just for listening to this episode. And my growpass.com members get 25% off all Dr. Zymes products. That's incredible. They're also giving away a ton of stuff to our members. The amazing Dr. Zymes Eliminator is a revolutionary green solution that kills and eliminates soft-bodied insects, molds, and mildews on your indoor and outdoor gardens. Eliminator is a proprietary formula. It's handcrafted to ensure quality control, and many growers have realized that it increases yields by not having to combat pests and mildews and any of this stuff. If you use this stuff preventatively, they don't have to run into any of those problems, okay? It's OMRI listed. It's completely organic. This stuff is really, really incredible. It is an enzyme pest eliminator, which means it's extraordinarily safe and leaves no residue. You got to listen to the upcoming episode with Mary Beth Sanchez. She dives into the science of this stuff. It's pretty crazy, guys. This is a revolutionary product. It doesn't clog the stomata, which is huge, especially if you're using it as a preventative. So you got to check it out. If Dr. Zymes isn't in your pest control regimen, check it out now, drzymes.com. Also, check out their cleaner. Again, GrowCast10 saves you 10%. And when you're ready to save 25% on your pest control, mygrowpass.com has you covered and then some. All right, everybody, let's jump back in with sun-grown mids. Back to the show. What do you think the end game is here? Why didn't they just stick in their lane and stick to, you know, are they going for like a massive data play and to sell this thing? That's kind of what I've heard a lot of people saying, is that this is a big data play that they'll sell off to a different company. What are your thoughts on Phylos's end game?
Yeah, that's clearly their end game. They wanted to take, they essentially spent 5 years deceiving the public, the press, their customers, the cannabis community at large, extracting as much resources as they could in the terms of funds and data in order to develop their own analytical breeding program. They did this to create a cannabis plant production pipeline to make themselves an attractive acquisition target for one of the big ag companies. That's literally what Matt Wood said at the Benzinga conference in, I believe it was February or January of this year. And the revelation of that video and his explicit acknowledgement that that's literally what their plan is and what they've been up to all along, it's what spurred me into looking deeper and to continue to stay on this. And with each revelation, it shows that this isn't just some plan that was hatched as like a pivot in 2019, but was something that they were planning from the very beginning.
That's everything. That intent really is everything to me, because, you know, when you talk about how the Cannabis Evolution Project got started and there were people who were excited and sending in samples and terms of service weren't in place yet, I kind of get the argument of cracking a few eggs to make an omelet. Like we were going here, you know, stuff was moving along. We didn't really have time. And if someone wants to later down the road utilize some of that information that was caught up in the limbo, it's kind of like tough shit. But if you actually had this plan, right, the entire time to go, oh, I see an opportunity to capitalize off of deception, that's a whole different story. And it sounds like it wasn't just this beginning period. It sounds like when they did install terms of service, they were maybe a little, let's just say, to put it kindly, very liberal, to put it less kindly, possibly predatory and extremely self-serving. Am I making sense there? You know what I mean? Like I get a little bit of the transition chaos, but this doesn't sound like that. If they really did have this years long intent with telling the public one thing, but doing certain hiring behind the scenes, that's very, very hard to exonerate.
Yeah. And I mean, this is really the primary issue with Phylos, is the level of deception. There are other biotech cannabis companies. There's Trait Bioscience, there's Napro, there's a number of other entities. And while some of them get criticized and there's issues in the cannabis community with them, and there are people who are adamantly opposed to plant patents, there are people who are adamantly opposed to gene editing, genetic modification, etc., when it's done by entities that make no bones about it and are very clear and explicit in their intent and their way they go about business, while we express our, you know, reservations or criticisms of this, we're not actually nearly as, you know, you don't see the level of outrage that you see directed at Phylos, and it's because of the way that Phylos used a sort of egalitarian, let's all work together, kumbaya, hippie sort of, we're all in this together, we're going to fight Monsanto rhetoric, only to deceive people the entire time. That's really resulted in the level of outrage and indignation that has emerged. People were deceived, and everybody who was deceived by Mowgli, by the rest of the Phylos team, is and has been expressing their outrage. And, you know, there were some people who saw through it initially. There were people who have been raising this issue since 2016 and earlier.
Well, I would say that there are people who get mad at these types of companies in general, just because the cannabis industry is very resistant to this type of change. They are protective. They are very community oriented for this exact reason. So shit like this doesn't happen. So those people, I kind of feel like we're vindicated and proven right, which personally I feel does a deals some damage to maybe progress a little bit, because do you think that Phylos really put a bad taste in people's mouths when it comes to sharing stuff for the sake of science, for the sake of community, basically sharing stuff amongst anyone? Is everyone a little bit more paranoid now?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, there's also the issue of the way in which openness and sort of like, they preyed on these very ideas that people had and concerns people had with predatory IP, and then turned people's concerns about these into a sort of Trojan horse to then engage in a predatory IP data capture.
Yeah, and that's so crazy.
That's something where it's like, it's a little unnerving and difficult to trust and build trust with any company that's operating in this area. However, I think there are good actors, and there are people who have really kind of emerged out of this process as doing real legitimate science.
Right. And don't you feel that science could lead to something miraculous?
Absolutely. I think that we're able to and have demonstrated historically that using scientific breeding methods, and this is just amateur breeders or, you know, the people who have been breeding for years in the cannabis community, we've engaged in very high level breeding practices that have actually produced results. And this spans the gamut from people who have been breeding historically decades ago, when the Amsterdam seed companies first emerged, when Rob Clark, Dave Watson, Neville Schoenger, they all did incredible work. And I think that up until the present, people that have been breeding throughout California and throughout Oregon and in the States have done an incredible job of preserving and maintaining high quality
cannabis. Yes, 100%. And
so there's incredible value that we've created over the years. And now the fact that we're able to access scientific labs is going to help us engage in even more advancement and development, but we have to develop terms of service, contract language, and protections that are fair and equitable for everybody in the business transaction.
100%. And that's, I'm with you there. That's where I lie as well, in my opinion. But God, I have never sympathized more with the cannabis community, who is just like all anti corporatized cannabis, anti genetic marking, anti expansion, right? I've never sympathized with them more, because this type of stuff just gets people riled up, like you said. And I don't think that, it's like you said, man, Phylos did something special here. People are extra mad. I think it's hard to shy away from the fact that they did something wrong, because why aren't all the other companies taking equal heat? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, it's definitely the only other issue, and it didn't gain anywhere near as much traction, even as much as Phylos tried to draw attention to it, was the biotech industry's patents that they got several years ago, the large utility patents. And so, like, that's been an issue. But even there, people weren't as upset about it, because biotech industries has never made any pretense about what they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that that's definitely the difference here with Phylos. And, you know, there's an opening here for a lot of other good actors to fill the void. And Medicinal Genomics and Kevin McKernan has done a great job of exposing this stuff from day one. Like, 2016, Kevin McKernan was out there raising the alarm and saying, look out, people, this is what Phylos is up to. And he was vindicated. And, you know, Matt Riott was also out there saying as well.
Wow.
He was telling people throughout the community in a way that nobody else was at the time, that we need to recognize what Phylos is up to. And so there have been a lot of voices out there that were really, like, pushing this. And in addition to people who are raising awareness about it, there are other people and providing services like Kevin McKernan. There are people like Eleanor Kuntz at LeafWork DNA and the Canna Herbarium, where they're doing incredible work. And the actual science of the herbarium is something that is really what Phylos, if they were sincere and honest about what they were doing, would have started, you know, 5 years ago.
Right.
They would have started a herbarium. We would have taken actual real samples. We would have preserved those real samples, documented those, and done the genetic testing, combine those together to create a real documentation of what existed and the true prior art.
Right.
Instead of just
a data package, essentially, is a easily packageable and sellable data package.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Of, like, questionable provenance. Because,
right,
like, who knows? Like, the galaxy has changed over times. And it's like, how has the galaxy changed if this is a representation of, like, set true prior art? If parts of this are changing, and this is really just data representations that are controlled by Phylos, then it makes it very difficult for people to understand and track the information. There's also issues with the fact that Phylos has the samples that they got and ran all of those samples, and supposedly they give you a readout of 22 to 2400 SNPs, but they assessed 3600. So almost a third of the data wasn't even included, according to their own statements. And that seems very strange. If you're a customer who paid for them to do this assessment and you're only getting two thirds of the data roughly, then you're not getting the full amount of the data that Phylos actually is looking at.
I think it's all about transparency. I think there's a big determination between, you know, predatory terms of service, which is you're going to sign this and then we're going to use all your stuff and some of the stuff that we don't even give you, which is bad in itself. But then there's the outright bait and switch, or just not telling people. It's the lack of transparency. And I'm not sure when it'll become a standard best practice for companies to focus on transparency. But people love it when they do. And I think that's really what hurt Phylos badly here.
Mm-hmm. And that's the productive conversation that can now emerge out of this with the other labs in the cannabis space.
Right. So, but I guess you wouldn't be pro-transparency if you had Monsanto ex-executives on your board. So I see the motivation there. But yeah, that's what I think really, really hurts. So listen, man, this was a very enlightening overview. Why don't we talk about what has happened since then, what the fallout was, and where you think we're headed?
Okay, yeah. So the fallout's been pretty widespread. Phylos's overall product suite, the data or the gen kit and the sex kits, are not selling the way that they have. They're just unable to find the clientele because of the fallout and the lack of trust and the basically negativity associated with their brand. Everybody, or not everybody, but almost everybody that was associated with Phylos as a partner has dropped out. The Open Cannabis Project dissolved. Dale Hunt, who was on the board of the Open Cannabis Project and was also a lawyer for Phylos, resigned. He wrote a resignation letter. Dickie Fitz, who was a former salesman, also quit and wrote a resignation letter in High Times. Rob Clark resigned. Dave Watson posted on Icy Mag, the cannabis forum, saying that he was lied to and was no longer associated with Phylos.
Wow. Well, can you shed a little light on that? Did any of these guys, can you talk about what he talked about or what any of these guys said about their experiences at Phylos?
Every single one of them said that they were lied to and deceived, and that Phylos essentially told them that they were working on all the things that they had told the community. Defensive IP strategy, fuck Monsanto. And every one of these people, upon watching the actual Benzinga investor video, realized that everything that Phylos had been toiling, clearly it wasn't just like they weren't just saying this publicly to the, you know, the general public.
This sounded orchestrated. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was essentially, you can see a bifurcation here where they weren't talking to their own legal team. They weren't talking to their own sales team. They weren't talking to their advisory board. And they were pursuing a corporate agenda that they weren't revealing to their own employees and to people within the organization. And then, and they weren't revealing it to people that they had essentially signed up as partners. So the East Fork cultivars, Soil King, Cultivation Classics, the Humboldt Seed Company, Gene Finder OG, Proof Cultivar, Hudson Hemp, all these different entities have severed ties, saying that they were lied to by Phylos.
Yikes.
Now, it's unclear. There's some complications with some of these entities just because they're owned by large conglomerates up in Oregon, and there may still be some ties between them. But generally speaking, almost everybody who was a breeder partner with Phylos or involved with Phylos, aside from a small handful of individuals, have said they were lied to and severed ties very publicly. And at this point, Phylos is essentially synonymous with Monsanto or with a untrustworthy entity. I've seen even in the Business Times sort of cannabis press where they're talking about Phylos as a synonym for untrustworthy corporate entity.
Well, that's interesting, man, because there's never been a time where that stuff mattered more and where it spreads faster. So do you feel this is irreparable damage, or did they get away with enough loot to where they're still going to be a force?
They're still going to be a force. They're in the process of pivoting. So Phylos has changed. They created an entity back in February.
I think Phylos is Greek for pivot.
So in February, they created an entity called Phylos Plant Research Incorporated. And that was clearly the entity that they were rolling out to be their new breeding company that they essentially announced in April. So that company in June filed an updated article with the Oregon Secretary of State changing their name to Progressive Plant Research Inc. So Phylos is hiding their name essentially and is now moving on to Progressive as an alternative.
Oh man.
Yeah,
that's so weird, man. People are weird. But you know, I'm glad that we have people like you and we have the internet to where a simple search, you'll hopefully be able to find who owns that company. So I don't think they should be able to hide too well because they did cause a lot of shit, but, interesting. They're trying to rebrand, repivot, but, yeah, crazy stuff, man. What do you think is next? I like what you said earlier about how this, you know, in a free market, when you mess up like this, what you really do is create an opening for a different company to come in who is transparent, who does have really respectable values and morals, and they can succeed, or at least you'd hope, in an ideal free market. What do you think is next for the space?
I mean, I think that this has totally changed the discussion, and it is a really good time for this discussion to be refocused and reoriented on the way in which predatory entities are entering into the cannabis market and trying to consolidate it. I think that Oregon is ground zero for the corporate takeover of cannabis market. They're trying to consolidate it in the hands of a few large entities that can wield market share. And that doesn't include a vision of the small producers, the people who have traditionally been involved in this activity. And that's one that I think it's a story that needs to be told. It's something that we're seeing in real time. There are a few people who have been, you know, sounding the clarion call. There are some people who have been trying to document this in real time. But this is the next great growth opportunity in the eyes of a lot of big corporations and a lot of highly leveraged capitalized entities. And that's something that makes it so that cannabis, as we know it, is literally a struggle for the future of genetic resources, of communities and traditions that have sustained everybody I know and everybody that I've been around for the last 30 years. My entire life has been in this community and in this world, and I don't know anything other than cannabis and the culture that has emerged around it. And it's literally under siege right now. So
right
across the board, we have to figure out ways of dealing with the many different battles that we have to deal with. There's the regulatory battle. That's a major issue. And regulatory capture is absolutely how these large capitalized entities operate. So you have to fight local, statewide political battles. Once federal legalization happens, that's only going to unleash the floodgates, as we're seeing in the hemp space, where Phylos is currently pivoting to at the moment. And so, you know, like, we're facing full-on onslaught from the political terrain, the regulatory terrain, and the economic terrain. And we just have to organize and really look at and learn from what's going on in places like Oregon, Washington, Colorado, and California. If you're in a state that hasn't yet legalized, you need to look at our states and see what's happening and try and learn lessons and not let your state go down the path that ours have gone down. Now, that's a tall task, but it's one that can happen through organized political engagement. And that's something that is really important, that we really understand that, you know, we have to engage how these rules and regulations get crafted. Otherwise, we're just going to get pushed out of the market, because that's how these capitalized entities operate.
100%.
They don't have a single strategy. They've got a multi-pronged strategy for pushing us out. And, you know, there's still alternatives, like, you know, the fact that people can keep on keeping on and doing what they've been doing historically is something that people are always going to do. But it's it's a sad reality that legalization is accomplishing what the drug war and prohibition was unable to accomplish in the last 60 years. And that's really disrupting and hurting communities that have preserved and maintained the cultures, the traditions, and the genetics that are necessary for doing anything with this plant. And any of these corporations that are moving into this space depend 100% on the culture and the traditions and the people who preserve these genetics. And, you know, so I think that they need to recognize that, and we need to organize around it.
Super well said. I have a couple things to say on that long speech you just gave. It was super, super well said. I think, like you said, these are high stakes. To quote one of my recent guests, Alan from Strainly, interestingly enough, another sort of cannabis data company, but I like that guy. He said, you know, if you look at the cannabis industry, especially in the US, you look at the different markets that it threatens, and it's like all of the biggest, meanest ones. Big ag, because it's a cash crop. Big pharma, because it cures cancer. Alcohol, you know, because because people are smoking instead of drinking. And tobacco. Literally, those are the biggest four, meanest four American institutions, and cannabis butts up against all of that. And here's the thing, we got to get our priorities straight, right? So I want to pay you a compliment by saying I'm surprised at how open-minded and unbiased you are still after this, after following this so deeply. I mean, obviously you didn't personally get screwed over that bad, but you're deep in it and you're not one of these sound the horn guys, like you said. I mean, you're saying we need to rally, obviously, we need to do something, but you're not, you know, you're still open to the idea of pursuing this path of genetic testing and that side of progress. But we got to get our priorities straight, right? We got to make sure that sick people can get medicine. That's the number one thing. You know what I mean? If sick people can't get safe medicine, that's horrible, right? We got to make sure no one's going to jail for this. We got to get the basics down first, right? And then move on to this other stuff. And just kind of hope that it works out in a somewhat fair and benevolent way.
Yeah, no, we really need to fight for our right to traditional medicine. Cannabis is a traditional medicine, and we, as users of this traditional medicine, which is basically, to the extent that it's come in contact with the culture, it's been used. And it's been used in some way or another for medicinal practices for tens of thousands, or at least 10,000 years. And so I believe that it's part of our cultural heritage as people who have come onto the planet. Everybody on the planet who has ever come in contact with this plant through whatever means, they've developed a cultural complex around the plant that is made use of it for their own particular purposes. You know, there are the hemp cultures that bred it for hemp purposes. There are the cannabinoid enjoyment cultures that have bred it for their own purposes.
Enjoyment, yeah. And then lots of medical examples as well.
Exactly. And that's something where, you know, we need to defend our ability to use this plant and to access this medicine, and that it's essentially a human right. And we need to not forget that. We need to remember that the struggle continues, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm all for that. And I just thought it was super fascinating the way you said that corporatized cannabis or private entities are doing what, you know, the DEA never could. So it's definitely a time to band together, to get involved, to promote home growing, and to protect what's important, which is the lives and freedom of our citizens. And especially, you know, sick people's access to medicine. I'd love to get high in the streets, you know, in my ideal society, I'd love to feel good, get high smoking in public, but let's focus on the important stuff first. Make sure that no one steps on that, whether it is our own government or some corporate entity. And focus on the big stuff. Man, this was super enlightening, Mr. Mids. I would love to have you back on anytime. And let's also keep up to date on this and see how this, not just the Phylos controversy plays out, but the whole genetics testing space. You know, I'd love to have you keep us up to date on that. Does that sound good?
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime, man.
Oh, that's awesome. You're the shit. One more time, give out your info. Where can my listeners go and find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Sungrown Mids, one word, Mids with a Z. I post lots of stuff on the subject and just generally involved with cannabis and the corporate takeover of the cannabis space.
Very, very cool, man. This was lovely. Thank you so much for being enlightening and very, very fair and balanced. We appreciate you and we look forward to having you back on soon.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
Everybody listening, follow at GrowCast on Instagram. Do all the things I ask you to do. MyGrowCast.com. Killing it with the membership. This is Jordan River and Sungrown Miz signing off, thanking you for listening, saying be safe and grow smart. And a quick special shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the background music for the ads. Go to jayblanked.com to find more of his music and find him on soundcloud.com/jayblanked.